We didn't realize what sort of punishment the fishermen had given us until we stopped running away from their village. The sun was in the middle of the sky. It was over 120 degrees and we were barefoot. The humidity by the sea was less than inland, but since there were no trees to provide shade, the sun penetrated right into the sand, making it hot and loose. Walking barefoot on the sand was like walking on a hot tar road. The only escape from this pain was to keep walking and hope for something miraculous. We couldn't walk in the water or the wet sand near its edge. It was very deep between where we walked and where the water met the land. And the waves were dangerous. After I had cried for several hours, my feet became numb. I continued walking but couldn't feel the soles of my feet. We walked on the hot, burning sand until sunset. I have never longed for a day to conclude as I did that day. I thought the arrival of sunset would heal my pain, but as the heat died down, the anesthesia also wore away. Each time I lifted my feet, the veins in them tightened and I felt the sand particles digging into my bleeding soles. The next several miles were so long that I didn't think I would be able to make it. I perspired and my body shuddered from the pain. Finally, we came upon a hut that was on the sand. None of us was able to talk. We walked inside and sat down on logs around the fireplace. There were tears in my eyes, but I was unable to cry because I was too thirsty to make a sound. I looked around to see the faces of my traveling companions. They were crying as well without a sound. Hesitantly, I looked under my feet. Peeled flesh hung down and congealed blocks of blood and particles of sand clung to each hanging bit of skin. It looked as if someone had literally used a blade to cut the flesh under my feet from the heel to the toes. Discouraged, I looked into the sky, through a tiny hole in the thatched roof, trying not to think about my feet. As we sat in silence, the man whose hut we had occupied came in. He stopped at the door and was about to turn around when he noticed I was suffering. His eyes met our frightened faces. Musa had just lifted his foot and was trying to separate the sand particles from his flesh. The rest of us were holding our knees so that our feet wouldn't touch the ground. The man motioned for Musa to stop what he was about to do. He shook his head and left. A few minutes later, he returned carrying a basket full of some type of grass. He quietly made a fire and heated the grasses and then placed them underneath each of our hanging feet. The steam from the grass rose to our soles and it gradually lessened the pain. The man left without saying anything. Later, he returned with fried fish soup, rice, and a bucket of water. He put the food before us and motioned for us to eat. Again, he disappeared, returning a few minutes later, this time smiling widely. He had a fishing net on his shoulder and held a pair of oars and a big flashlight. You picking and they feel better, right? Without waiting to hear whether we were feeling better or not, he went on to tell us where the sleeping mats were and that he was going fishing and would be back in the morning. He didn't even bother to ask our names. I guess he didn't think it was necessary or important at that moment. Before he left, he gave us ointment to rub on our feet and stressed that we do it before going to sleep. We were very quiet that night. No one said a word. The following morning, our nameless host came again with food and a smile on his face that said he was glad that we were doing fine. We couldn't walk well, so we just hobbled around the hut and made fun of each other to avoid boredom. Kene boasted about being an excellent soccer player. Musa threw him a groundnut shell. Kene moved his foot to kick it, but then realized that it would hurt and abruptly swung his foot back, dragging it against the stone. He began to blow on his sole in pain. What kind of soccer player are you going to be if you're afraid to kick an empty groundnut shell? Musa laughed. We all gradually began to laugh. Musa had a round face and he was short and bulky with tiny round ears that matched his face. His eyes were big and looked as if they wanted to leave his face. Whenever he wanted to convince us of something, they would brighten. Kene had a long and calm face, and unlike Musa, he was skinny and had short, really dark hair that he took great care of every morning or whenever we stopped at a river or a stream. He would rub water on his head and take his time to carefully arrange his hair. "Are you meeting a girl somewhere?" Elijah would ask, giggling. Kene, with his soft yet authoritative voice, always seemed to know what to say and how to handle certain situations better than the rest of us.